Hello, and welcome to the ninth episode of the RPA podcast. I'm Caroline Ling, and in today's programme we discuss the opening of the claim window for existing countryside stewardship revenue and environmental stewardship agreements with processing manager Greg Bullman. We also have a preview of the shows and events that RPA will be attending with Katie Yon from the events team, and also Caitlin Smith from the Grant Service team talks about the new round of the Farming Equipment and Technology Fund. And in a special interview, we're joined by RPA's Customer Director, Marie Hardiman, who talks about her first year with RPA and what's coming up in the customer area over the next few months. Claim window for existing countryside stewardship revenue and environmental stewardship agreements opened last month. Today I'm joined by Greg Bullman, a countryside stewardship processing manager, to talk more about this. Welcome to the podcast, Greg.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So before we go into what farmers need to do, could you tell us briefly about what countryside stewardship and environmental stewardship do?
Yeah, I can. So for countryside stewardship and environmental stewardship, we provide financial incentives for farmers, foresters and land managers to support sustainable food production whilst looking after the environment by implementing measures that increase biodiversity, grow habitats, expand woodland areas, improve water quality and enhance natural flood management.
Oh, thank you. And what do farmers need to do now that the claim window has opened?
So, farmers must submit an annual declaration or claim form for countryside stewardship or environmental stewardship before the 15th of May deadline to receive payment for works carried out through the schemes in 2024. If you miss the deadline, you still have until Wednesday the 2nd of September to submit a claim, but a reduction will be applied to the value of your claim. The later you submit it, the greater the reduction, so I would encourage eligible farmers to submit their claims before the deadline to ensure they are rewarded for their efforts to produce food sustainably while improving the environment.
Oh, great. Thanks, Greg. And I believe you've simplified the process.
Yes, we have. So last year we supplemented the existing online claim process for countryside stewardship with a more straightforward annual declaration option in cases where no changes are required. This will remain available in the Rural Payment Service for 2024, with farmers able to generate and submit an automated revenue claim with a single click without needing to complete each section on the claim form. There's also a video available on YouTube for those that want to watch it, called How to Submit a Revenue Claim Using the Rural Payments Portal, which is worth watching. If there's any changes to your claim form from last year, or your agreement includes rotational options, you need to tell us.
Right, okay. And is there anything else farmers need to do before submitting the claim?
Yes, so before submitting your claim for countryside stewardship, please make sure you've updated your land use codes by signing into the Rural Payments Service. If you're unable to access the Rural Payments Service, you can email us at ruralpayments@defra.gov.uk. If you're an ES agreement holder, you'll receive your claim form by either email or post. You need to complete it and return it to us to submit your claim.
Oh, thanks, Greg. And before we finish, I'd also like to touch on D-Link payments, because when RPA made the announcement about their countryside stewardship and environmental stewardship revenue claims opening, RPA also made a reminder about D-Link payments. So could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, I can. So we want to remind farmers, for those that wish to transfer some or all of their reference amount for D-Link payments to another business, you must do so by the 10th of May 2024. For example, farmers may wish to do this if their business is split, merged with another business, or being given a single business identifier since they were paid BPS 2020.
Great. And can you just give us a bit of background about D-Link payments?
Yes, I can. So the RPA replaced the basic payment scheme in England with D-Link payments, which will be paid each year from 2024 to 2027. Advanced payments will be made to farmers of around 50% from the 1st of August and the balance of the payment from the 1st of December. There's no need to apply for D-Link payments, but farmers should be aware that the amount you receive will decrease each year as the progressive reductions are applied. It's calculated based on a reference amount, which will normally be the average of your BPS payments made for the 2020 to the 2022 scheme years. You must have claimed and been eligible for BPS payments in England in the 2023 scheme year, except for some inheritance cases.
Oh, thanks very much, Greg. And where can farmers get more information on what we've talked about today?
Yep, so to get more information on this, it's all on gov.uk. You can search for how to make a capital or revenue claim for countryside stewardship, also how to get paid under an environmental stewardship agreement, and further information about the D-Link payments transfer period can be found on the RPA blog via the blog post D-Link Payments Guidance, information about the transferred in reference data.
Oh, that's brilliant, Greg. Thank you so much for that and for joining us today.
No problem. It's been great being here.
So our next guest today is Katie Yon from RPA's Shows and Events team, who's going to talk about the range of shows and events the team will be visiting this year and what visitors to the RPA stand can expect. Welcome to the podcast, Katie.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you for inviting me here. Great opportunity. Thank you.
So you've got a packed and exciting show season ahead, Katie. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yes, of course, Caroline. As you mentioned, the RPA Shows and Events team has had a very busy 2023, and we have a very busy 24 coming up. We want to ensure that all our engagement with the industry is as successful, if not even more so, than last year's. So this year we'll be engaging with even more farmers and rural communities across the country. We're going to have a presence at over 40 agricultural shows and events. So this is including all the big shows and lots of the regional ones too. We've got great coverage across the whole country, from kind of the northeast and the northwest, right down to the southwest and everywhere in between. So if you're attending any of the shows over the rest of the year and you'd like to talk to RPA, please do come and have a conversation with us. We'll be primarily there to talk to farmers and agents about all of the current and future land management schemes, and we'll also be specifically promoting the Sustainable Farming Incentive, Farming Investment Fund grants, and Countryside Stewardship.
Oh, thanks, Katie. That's really helpful. You and your team are going to be doing a lot of travelling around this year, and I believe at some shows you'll also be giving talks.
Yes, that's right. We'll be doing some demos that we hope people will find useful, looking at things like how to apply for some of our funding. We also want to have talks from some of our kind of scheme management experts, like field officers and grants colleagues, just to try and show customers what you should expect from the RPA. We've also delivered lots of presentations. We've attended the Farm Update North Conference. We've done something for the Dartmoor Hill Farming Network, Farm Cornwall, Upper Teesdale Support Services, and we have lots more planned.
Oh, and I believe you're co-locating at a number of stands.
Yes, that's right, Caroline. So we'll be with colleagues from the DEFRA Farming and Countryside Programme at around 29 of our shows, so the large majority. And what that means is that we can chat with customers around the DEFRA policies and then over to us in terms of how RPA are delivering. We'll also be joined by relevant experts, as I've mentioned before, the grants services team at the bigger agricultural machine shows, where people will be able to find out more about the grants on offer and the specifications of equipment and things like that.
Oh, that sounds really great, Katie. And why would you encourage people to come and see you at the shows?
Well, visiting our stand at an event is often the only face-to-face contact people will have with the RPA. And for us, being able to meet farmers and agents in person, it provides us with really good feedback, which then can influence the way we write guidance, the way we design processes. It's also a chance for us to gain some early insight into how people are feeling about our schemes. You know, we're here for people to come and talk to us about anything they're having a problem with. Plus, we're actually really nice. We love having a chat and doing our best to help people with any queries they might have.
Oh, you and the whole team are very lovely, Katie. I can confirm that. So where can people find out what shows you'll be attending?
Thanks, Caroline. Well, what we do is we have a list on the RPA blog, which shows all the events we're going to, and also a list on the farming blog on which ones the Farming and Countryside programme will be attending.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Katie. I'll also be attending a few of the shows, so I'll catch up with you in person, you and the team again there. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Caroline. And yes, I look forward to seeing you at some of our shows as well.
Great. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Earlier this year, the Prime Minister made a speech at the annual NFU conference where he announced the biggest ever package of grants to boost productivity and resilience in the farming sector, including the largest ever grant offer for farmers in the coming financial year, expected to total £427 million. I'm joined today by Caitlin Smith from RPA's Grants Service Team, who will talk to us about the new round of the Farming Equipment and Technology Fund. Caitlin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Caroline. It's great to be here.
So, following the announcement at the NFU conference, what can you tell us about round two of the Farming Equipment and Technology Fund?
Yes, we've opened a new round of the fund, which is worth £70 million, and that's designed to support farmers with the costs of eligible items to build the resilience of the farming sector and boost our food security. The Farming Equipment and Technology Fund has three grants to help farmers buy items to improve productivity, manage slurry, and improve animal health and welfare. You can apply for more than one grant for items that suit your business. Under the productivity element, you can apply for a maximum of £50,000, and this focuses on improving agricultural sustainability and horticultural and forestry productivity, helping farmers use less inputs, reduce emissions and cut waste. The slurry grant is also a maximum of £50,000, and this helps farmers to improve their slurry management and maximise environmental benefit. The animal health and welfare grant gives a maximum of £25,000, which will offer improvements in the health and welfare of livestock, potentially helping farmers improve biosecurity or decrease environmental stress.
Thanks, Caitlin. And what sort of uptake are you expecting this year?
Well, the 2023 FETF rounds received over 6,000 applications and to date has paid farmers over £26 million. We're expecting an increased uptake this year with over 200 items available, including over 50 new items. These items will enable farmers, horticulturalists, forestry owners and contractors providing services to these sectors to raise farm productivity, improve animal health and welfare outcomes and achieve environmental sustainability and innovation.
Oh, and what does this mean for farmers?
So these grants will help businesses boost farm productivity, reduce waste and cut input costs, as well as increase environmental sustainability. There are also more opportunities for farmers to be able to apply for grants at different times within the year, and that allows them to align when they apply with their individual farming calendars.
And is there anything new for 2024?
Yes, so for the first time, we'll be introducing multiple application windows through the year. There will be three windows opening in 2024 for each of the three grants. Also, applicants for the Animal Health and Welfare Grant can apply for a 20% vet advice uplift to their score, and applicants for the Productivity and Slurry Grants will be able to apply for up to £50,000 of grant funding towards eligible items, which is an increase of £25,000 from last year. This means applicants could receive up to £125,000 in total towards the purchase of new equipment and technology. We've also introduced two different scoring methodologies which can be found in the item list for the grant applicants are applying for. And we've increased the intervention rate for grants from 40% to between 50% and 60% for eligible costs. And finally, we've introduced reference costs. That means that the RPA will pay applicants an increased grant amount of 50% for most items or 60% towards either the average cost of the item, if an item costs you the same or more than the expected average cost in the item list, or the actual cost you pay for the item, if an item costs you less than the expected average cost in the item list.
That's really helpful. Thanks, Caitlin. And I believe that the grant service team are attending a number of shows over the rest of the year, and you're encouraging people to come and talk to you on the stand.
Yes, that's right. We'll be on the RPA stand at many of the larger shows this year to answer face-to-face queries relating to what grants are available, how the grants work, and the timeframes. We want as many people as possible to come and talk to us to get advice or ask questions, which hopefully we'll be able to answer on the day. But if we can't, we'll take your details and get back to you with the correct information after the event.
And in the meantime, where can people find more information on the grants that are available?
Yes, you need to visit gov.uk and search for Funding for Farmers. The guidance on Funding for Farmers is regularly updated and sets out every payment on offer with links to learn more, including links to the Rural Payments blog and the Farming blog. And it's worth mentioning that we've also introduced a brand new user portal with improved functionality for our customers. This year, applicants will be able to use the new service, making it easier to apply for the grants. Applicants will need to be quick though. The first application window for productivity and slurry grants will close at 12 noon on the 17th of April. The first application window for animal health and welfare grants has opened and will close at 12 noon on the 1st of May. However, there are two more application windows for all three grants expected to open in 2024.
Oh, that's really helpful. Thank you so much, Caitlin. Today we're joined by Marie Hardiman, RPA's Customer Director, who's here to talk about all things customer service. It's lovely to have you here, Marie.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
So you've been in your role now as RPA's Customer Service Director for almost a year. What's that year been like for you?
It's been a really varied and inspiring first year. I've spent a lot of time out and about meeting our customers. And that's been varied because we deliver support to so many agricultural and rural communities. So from fruit and veg growers and traders to small family farmers, right through to really large landowners and huge agricultural organisations. And then it's been inspiring because everyone I've met has been really passionate about what they do and really honest about the challenges the sector faces and how we at the RPA can impact them positively and negatively if we're not getting it right. And no matter how challenging their circumstances are, everyone I've met has been welcoming and really wanting to work in partnership with us to shape our services. I've met many stakeholders and organisations who provide support to our customers, and that's a really great community of people that also want to work in partnership with us. It's been my first year at the RPA, so as well as first year in my role, it's the first year working with colleagues. And another observation would be that the passion and the willingness to deliver great outcomes has been shown right across the agency. Everyone I work with has been welcoming, supportive, and is genuinely motivated by wanting to provide a great service.
Oh, that's great. And I know that you've got some interesting plans for customers going forward, but before we talk about that, could we talk about what you've achieved and delivered for RPA's customers over the past year?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose linked to what I've just said, my reflections on our colleagues at the agency, it's probably important to highlight that what's been achieved is because of a great group of people working together. We've supported thousands of customers this year to access funding. So as well as continuing to deliver funding through existing schemes, we've delivered a variety of new schemes and new grants. We've then improved how our customers contact us, how they can get through to the right person on our telephone lines or by web chats, how they can tell us about information and changes, and then how we can better direct their queries or information they're sharing with us to the right people. We've increased the way we share information to reach more customers. So this is things like our newsletters, videos to share guidance, and videos to share real life examples from customers about how they're using our funding to deliver great outcomes. And then of course, things like this podcast. I talked about our stakeholder community. We engage with a large community of stakeholders, and that's a really important group for our customers, because some of our customers choose to be members of these organisations and some choose to use land agents, for example. So in the last year, we've increased how much we get out and about, whether that's at shows and events, or whether it's how we inform and engage with our stakeholders through meetings and workshops and getting out and about in our rural communities. In the last year, we launched our farmer panel, and that's really important for us to gather insight, but also test some of those improvements that we're making. And we've increased our customer insight activity. So what I mean by that is how we capture feedback from that broad group of customers I talked about in different ways and at different parts of their interaction with us. We get feedback in such a variety of ways. Direct, so say from a customer survey or from the farmer panel, perhaps a social media comment, but also indirectly through our data and our performance information, and from colleagues out in the field or taking calls from our customers. So we're improving how we pull all of that together to help drive improvements across our services.
Oh, that's really useful. Thanks, Marie. So as well as collecting feedback through surveys and engagement, as you've mentioned, I know that you're very keen on listening to customers by visiting farms, talking to farmers and making sure their voice is heard. How has that allowed you to make improvements?
It's really helping us to shape how we deliver services. So far it's helped with probably quite individual things. So we might have shared some guidance with customers to get their feedback on, does that make sense to them? Do we need to make any changes? We've involved our customers in how to improve our mapping function, although there's a lot more work that we can and will be doing to improve mapping. So far, it's been helping us shape how we deliver individual things. Moving forward, we're talking to our customers about what they want overall from us as an agency and how we can better shape our end-to-end customer services.
Oh, this is all great to know, Marie. Myself and RPA's customers would also like to know how you're ensuring that the people working for you have the right skills to deliver the customer service that farmers, agents and landowners need.
That's a really interesting question, because we are changing the types of services that we need to deliver to our customers and how we deliver those. And it's really important that we upskill our colleagues across the agency to be able to deliver those changes. So a really good example of that is things like our field officers. Previously, under EU funding, we've had to inspect and we've had to check compliance against agreements. Whilst it's really important we continue to make sure our public money is being used for good, we want to move more to supporting our customers to deliver those brilliant outcomes, helping them to get it right, preventing mistakes happening. That's a real shift in what's expected of our field colleagues. I talked earlier about the increased funding streams that we've provided, whether that's schemes or grants. All of that means that our colleagues on our telephones and in our fields need to be more informed to advise, guide, support customers. So we're keen to upskill our contact centre colleagues so that they can provide accurate and useful information to our customers. With all of that, we also need to provide the technology to support colleagues in delivering those services.
Oh, thanks, Marie. And what about giving customers a choice in how they engage with RPA? After all, one size doesn't necessarily fit all.
Absolutely. We've talked a little bit today about the different customer groups that we provide support to. And what that means is that different customers want to contact us in different ways, at different times of the day or the week. And for some customers, the type of service they like differs. So whether they want to be able to self-serve that information without needing to talk to a person, they want to get information quickly, tell us of changes quickly at a time that's convenient for them, or whether actually any more support they want, whether it's face-to-face contact in the field, or they want to talk to a person, actually speak to that person about multiple things to do with their farm or their business. So one of the things we're looking for in the next 12 months is to really look at the best contact model that we can provide, both in the field and over the phone or via our portal. How do we provide the right contact model for all of the different customers that we're trying to support? So we absolutely want to give customers a choice in how they engage, but we want to make sure that whatever way they choose, they receive a consistent and a great service.
Thanks, Marie. That's been really interesting. Just one final question. Is there anything RPA has planned for this year that you're introducing that's going to enhance the customer service RPA provides?
I think the biggest thing will be our contact model. So improving how we engage with our customers. We'd really like to give customers a choice in how they engage with us. I talked earlier about all of the different customer groups that we provide support to. They all have different ways of wanting to contact us, perhaps the time that they'd like to contact us, and then the type of service they'd like when they do contact us. So for some customers, they're quite happy to self-serve information and to tell us of changes without necessarily talking to a person. Whereas for others, they'd like more complex support. They'd like to talk to a person, whether that's in the field or over the phone. So we'd like to improve how we engage, how we support customers to deliver those outcomes, and how we make it easier for customers to get the information and support that they need from us. Also, a big part of that is how we use our customer insight and how we engage with customers to help us improve that. So really getting customer feedback to help us shape and design those services.
Marie, that's great. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for talking to me. I hope it was useful.